You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network to talk to you about a couple of completely meaningless yet still impactful Boston Celtics games. I am John Corrales from RedsArmy.com and Boston.com, joined by Jay King of The Athletic, who is in the midst of working on his first real piece for the big launch coming up this Tuesday, Jay, right? 10th, the 10th.
That was a nice plug, man. That was a truly nice plug.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, hey, look.
No, I appreciate
you're
that.
You're out there. You're working hard, man. You're working hard. Before we started the show, Jay was like, I was up at 6 this morning working on this piece. So Jay's busting his ass, getting ready for the big Athletic launch. But before that, we're going to talk about the Celtics beating the Bulls, losing to the Hawks in two games that in the standings don't really mean anything at all. The Celtics have clinched the second seed. They have clinched the fourth best record in the NBA, so they have clinched, I think, the 27th pick in the draft. There's really nothing for the Celtics. So in this show, we will discuss what we can take out of this, things from players like Tatum, Brown, and Ogilvy. We're going to talk about the big topic now because Jabari Bird has spent two games kind of dazzling us out of nowhere, and everybody wants to know what can we do to get Jabari Bird into the playoffs. And then we will talk about the entire playoff picture. Games, the Wizards, the Bucks, the Heat, they're all playing. It's going to come down to the last minute with those guys. But Jay, let's start with these games, and I'm not going to discuss the games themselves because they were just pure shit. There's no reason to get into a post game with these things.
You don't want to spend 10 minutes on Taurean Prince?
No, I'm congratulations Taurean Prince on getting hot from three. Great. You know what that got him? The most hated man in Atlanta, because they're trying to tank and winning games doesn't help them at all. So everybody in Atlanta's pissed that Taurean Prince got hot. So, but the big thing here is the things that we can take out of these games, since they're resting everybody and, you know, with the injuries and whatnot. Let's start with the guys who are going to make the biggest playoff impact: Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Especially, we saw today in the Hawks game Jaylen Brown finish a bunch with his left hand, and we saw Jason Tatum just whip out some really funky finishes. That steal and dunk in the third quarter where he kind of like changed directions twice and finished with the dunk. I mean, those are two plays that we haven't seen a ton of this season. Having these guys still continue to develop things and show us new things at this point is really encouraging, I think.
Yeah, and I think one of the major takeaways from seeing them play against some of the younger teams in the league is that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are probably better than your favorite team's two best young players together. Like, unless it's the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, or I don't even know what other teams are out there that might compare. Jaylen Brown,
Utah?
Donovan Mitchell, and who?
I don't know. Well, Gobert's been in the league for a couple of years, so.
Yeah, so like they're rare talents. And especially when you see them up against guys their age, it's like, whoa, they're a lot better than these guys. And I know Taurean Prince had a great game, but Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown just do special things. They do really special things on a semi-regular basis. And like you said, with some of the left-hand finishes from Brown, that's obviously area he's been needing to work on since he got in the NBA. He's not as good a finisher as he should be, giving his power, his athleticism, all of his skills. Well, now he's working on it, and he's obviously improving at it. And Jason Tatum, kind of the same thing. That's one of the things he needs to work on, is working through contact and being able to finish. And he had some unbelievable plays. The steal and, like, the step around, like, he slowed down and stepped around the defender and the fast break. That was electric. That was one of the better.
That was good. Yeah. That was really good.
That was just a next-level play that very few guys in the NBA can make. And obviously, he's a young rookie, just turned 20. He was 19 just a few months ago.
He was
ago,
19 God. Years old doing that. Can you believe that?
So I think that's one of the major takeaways, is those guys are just advanced for their age. And it's always funny to think about what they would look like in a different environment. Like, if they had been drafted to the Suns together, how much hell would they be giving teams? How many points would they be scoring? How efficiently, how inefficiently would they be doing it? So whenever I see them play with the lesser squad and play against lesser squads, that always seems to be in the back of my mind, how they could have looked, how they could have developed in a different situation. Obviously, they entered the Celtics situation, and they're going to end up having huge roles this season on a playoff team, and bigger roles than the Celtics anticipated from the beginning of the season. Certainly bigger roles after Kyrie Irving went down. Those guys, they're just really good. And they're really good at both ends, and they do it all the time. So I don't know if any of that is groundbreaking, but just when you see them playing such big roles against lottery teams, it reminds you how good those guys are compared to a lot of the other young talent in the league.
Now, that's a great point, I think, because you're looking at all of the young talent, all of the guys that are 19, 20, 21 years old, and you want to see where these guys compare. And they are definitely further along. Jaylen Brown is – I think his year one to year two jump just continues to be extremely impressive. And one of those storylines, when you think about all of the things that we're talking about all season long, that leap that Brown has made from year one to year two isn't talked about as much as it might be if he was on another team and he was a bit more featured. The Celtics have so many other guys that we're focusing on. Gordon Hayward, obviously, whenever he comes back from the injury, Kyrie, Al Horford, Tatum being the rookie and having such a great rookie season, and Brown coming off of an okay rookie year. Like, there was nothing special. He was benched a lot. He didn't get the same leeway that Jason Tatum did. Situation's different. Necessity is different. But what he's done from year one to year two is significant, I think. And if he could make a similar jump from year two to year three, now we're looking at a really, really good player. So it really shows a great promise for next season. If the Celtics can just avoid some of these injuries from this year, if the Celtics throw out Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Al Horford, just think about all of those guys. I think you tweeted it, Jay.
Yeah.
Having four 40%+ three-point shooters on the floor, how do you guard that team?
It could be five. It could be Kyrie, Hayward, Brown, Tatum, and Horford. They could all be 40-plus.
Yeah, right, five.
They're all right around it. I think Jalen's at 39-point-something% this year, and Hayward was at 39-point-something% last year. Kyrie, Tatum, and Horford are all over 40%. So it's like, whoa, that's going to be tough to stop.
And you can run pick and roll with any two of those guys.
Yeah, basically. You can even have Horford running it. If you needed him to. Like, he's played
Horford
point guard this year.
The ball handler in the pick and roll, are you nuts?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, they won't use it a lot, but they could. As good as this season has been, to think about what it's going to be like when they welcome back Hayward and when Tatum and Brown are they should be both substantially better next season based on how much they've improved. Tatum from his year, 1 year in college, and Brown from his rookie season. They could be just explosive next year. So that's just something to think about, something to keep in the back of your mind while you enjoy the rest of this Celtics season.
I would like to remind everybody that if you subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast, the Monday podcast is out now, and among the segments with Josh Lloyd on this Monday podcast is me talking to him about the Celtics situation, the Kyrie injury, and we do touch on some of this potential future stuff. So if you want to hear a little bit more about Kyrie's injury and my take on that with the Locked On NBA crew, again, Josh Lloyd has the Monday show. I host on the Wednesday show with Jake Madison from Locked On Pelicans. So you want to subscribe to the Locked On NBA show to get your daily bite-sized kind of condensed version of the previous night's games. And on Mondays, you are getting the biggest stories from the local experts. So three of the hosts that have the biggest stories going on in the league will be on with Josh Lloyd every Monday. And obviously, the Kyrie's surgery is one of the biggest stories in the NBA. So I was on there. Sam had done a segment on there. So we're all kind of banding together for this Locked On NBA podcast. So go subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. Wherever you found the Locked On Celtics podcast, really, you should go do it because it's a great listen, and every show is about half an hour, so it's a nice little addition to your NBA podcast rotation. Jay, one of the things that we saw today was kind of finally Semi Ojeleye stepping up and scoring with some confidence. So the numbers today, 13 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 3 from 3, which he – in summer league, when we were there in Las Vegas watching him, he had – I remember he had that huge game against the Lakers where he was just banging threes and all like top of the key, you know, straight on threes. He was showing that he could hit those with some confidence, and then it kind of went away this season. Today he hit all three that he took. He also added 6 rebounds and an assist. So overall, pretty nice performance from Semi Ojeleye. This is – I don't want to make too much of it because it's one game. He has started to shoot the three better over the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
With all of the guys that are out, with and as good as a defender as he can be, him shooting with confidence and scoring with some confidence could be one of those low-key things that change at least a couple of games in the playoffs if he can carry that through.
Yeah, it's... I tweeted this today. It's one of the few things from these last few games that could end up mattering in the playoffs. Like as much as we can argue about Jabari Bird and Abdul Nader and whoever else deserves the last roster spot,
we'll get to that.
Neither of those guys is likely to be in the rotation. But I think Semi Ojeleye has a chance to be in the rotation. Semi Ojeleye, the way he can defend on the wing and against bigger guys, puts him, it gives him a possibility of playing in the playoffs. And if he can punish teams for leaving him wide open, which they are going to do because he has been, one, reluctant to shoot this season, and two, a bad shooter when he has shot this season. So if he can punish teams for leaving him wide open, and if he can shoot confidently, like he was in the 40% last year. He entered the NBA as a guy with a reputation of being a 3-and-D type of guy. He hasn't been that in the NBA, but with a little confidence, and he certainly looked a lot more confident today. And he hasn't looked like that much this season. Like he's been very hesitant. It's been clear he's been very hesitant. So that's a big deal if he starts to put the ball through the basket and starts to feel comfortable taking those shots. If he plays, the Celtics are going to need him because in the playoffs, more than ever, teams are going to load up off him. They're going to look at his shooting percentages. They're going to look at the other guys on the floor around him, realize they're all much, much bigger threats, and they're going to dare him to shoot. And he has to be able to try to make them pay and to make them pay because – in the playoffs, it's different, man. Like, they guard you differently. They take advantage of the weak links. and you can't have a zero offensively out there. If he's not a zero, then he could be a valuable player. He could help them go small off the bench. He could help them do a lot of things, but he needs that confidence, and so I do think it could be a big deal.
Yeah, and to be clear, that the fact that he did this against the Hawks is not the thing that we're saying, oh, well, he had this good game, and now he could have other good games. I completely understand that this was the Hawks, an end-of-season meaningless game. So it's not that he did this against those teams, and if he does it against the Bucks or the Heat or the Wizards, or when he sees those teams, he's going to do the same thing. It's the confidence thing, and confidence is that unquantifiable thing that when you have it, the shot just feels different. When you don't have that confidence, you are so hyper aware of every little thing in your shot. You're saying, oh, the elbow didn't feel good. That didn't feel great coming off of my hands. Was I even supposed to shoot in that spot? When you're confident, everything just feels good. You're not even thinking. It just flows. And that's a big, big difference. That helps the shot go in because you're just relying on that muscle memory that you've built up over time. And when you let that work, it can work. And a game against a completely shitty, historically bad team, it's not necessarily the indicator, but it could be the springboard. And that's the big thing here. It's that once you start seeing the ball go through the hole, when you face whatever team is coming up and you just get the ball and you have the opportunity to shoot, you know it can go through the hole when you shoot it. So that's the most important thing for Shemi is – in this game against the Hawks and in the Washington game coming up or the Brooklyn game coming up when he's going to get those opportunities to shoot. If you watch him and he gets those chances and he starts to hit those chances, not necessarily even 3 for 3, but you know, a 2 for 5 is great. Just to see the ball go in with some regularity, then you have something that maybe you can rely on off the bench when things get tight. So it's encouraging. It's something to latch onto with all of these injuries. And at least, look, it's better than the shots not going in. So you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't expect Ojale to play a huge role in the playoffs. I don't expect him to play a ton of minutes. I think Stevens will cut down the rotation considerably. But I do think that in a pinch-hitting type of role, there will be certain games when the Celtics will call on Shemi Ojale, and it would be nice if he's able to shoot confidently at that time.
Yes. All right, let's get to the other big story to come out of the past couple of games. It's Jabari Burke. He's got springs for legs, man. That the follow dunk on Al Horford's miss today was just awesome. And he can shoot, he can jump, he's athletic, and he's just kind of been this like little revelation for the past couple of days. So people are all of a sudden really excited about Jabari Bird.
Yeah, and it's too bad for Bird that he had the back injury earlier this season because the Celtics were dealing with injuries, obviously, and he would have gotten an extra couple of months to show his stuff and to prove himself and to state a case that the Celtics should cut someone else and put him on the playoff roster. Instead, his push has come literally in just the last two games. But those last two games, he's looked really good. And I know the competition hasn't been good. I know they've been playing the Bulls and the Hawks, two teams that desperately want to lose, despite the fact that the Hawks actually won. But what's been impressive about Bird to me is the basketball intellect. He had, I think, 4 backdoor cuts for layups in the first game against the Bulls. He had at least 1 today against the Hawks. The putback you talked about, he read the shot well. He was right there for the putback. He had another putback where he did kind of the same thing. He had a play where he drove it in the middle of the lane, dished it with his left hand to, I think it was Greg Monroe, for an assist. So he's just really played smart basketball. And I think that's what stood out to me as much as anything. especially when the competition is Abdul Nader. I don't want to pile on top of Nader, but there have been times when he hasn't always made the smart play. And
yeah,
so Bird's willingness to and ability to do all those things and to score in such intelligent ways, it's put him into the conversation. I think he's forcing the Celtics front office to at least discuss whether they should put Jabari Bird on the playoff roster. Now, I don't think it's likely to happen. I doubt they'll do it, but they definitely have to at least consider it, I think, after what Bird's done the last couple of games.
Yeah. The problem is with the injuries will shorten a lot of the bench anyway, and so you have to prepare for the possibility, like, what if somebody else goes down, or what if there's foul trouble, or what if Marcus Morris gets ejected again, or something crazy like that, which seems to be a problem now. But Jabari Bird is currently ineligible. So let's set this scenario here. Currently ineligible to be on the playoff roster. So if they want him in the playoffs, they will have to cut somebody, and it's most likely Abdel Nader. But to cut Nader and add Bird, you're now starting the clock on his future contracts. And this is part of the things that need to be considered that fans don't necessarily consider. Like, on the surface, you sit there and you say, is there any possible way we can get Nader out and Jabari Bird in? Because that's much better. I'd rather have Jabari Bird coming off the bench. Yeah, in a vacuum, yeah, that's great. But to add Jabari Bird to the roster now, and I'm going to give credit to Ryan Bernardoni for kind of vocalizing this the best possible way. He tweeted it out. If you think, and I'll let me just read his tweet. He says, if you think that Bird is barely an NBA player but better than Nader, so just use him now, that's fine. But if you think that he might be a rotation NBA player down the road, then you can't spend his time now. And so that means if you think that Jabari Bird could help the Celtics next year and the year after, then you do not actually want him on the playoff roster now, because if you put him on the playoff roster now, that counts as year one of his contract, which means he gets that qualifying offer sooner, which means you have to make a decision on his long-term future 1 year sooner. And you, as a front office, you don't want that. You'd rather, on this season where it doesn't matter, Kyrie's hurt anyway, Gordon's hurt anyway, Smart is hurt anyway, and who knows when we'll get him back, really. If we're not going to make a run to the NBA Finals, why waste a year of Jabari Bird now when you could just say, get him back into camp, give him – I'm not exactly sure how his contract works moving forward because of the two-way thing, but bring him into camp, sign him a little more long-term, and bring him along and at least have that extra year of pushing decisions off and pushing tax implications off than bringing him on now. So in a nutshell, I would say if you think Jabari Bird is a guy that can help the Celtics a little bit long-term, then as tempting as it is, you do not want him in the playoffs now because that wastes a year. But if you think Jabari Bird is a flash in the pan and just let's take advantage of the heat that he's on now, then sure, whatever, it doesn't matter. Cut Nader, it doesn't matter anyway because his contract is not guaranteed next year. And then you sign Bird to some kind of crazy little multi-year contract that you could just cut him after this year anyway, then yeah, that's fine. But I would guess that the Celtics don't want to risk it, and they'll just go into the playoffs with Nader and hope that Nader can figure it out if they need him in an emergency. And honestly, if Nader's playing in the playoffs, then it's a real, real goddamn emergency.
While we're on that topic, one of the things that Brad Stevens said today is that he was talking about the bench, and he said, obviously we're going into the playoffs with less people on our roster and we're down some guys. The bench play is going to be huge for us, and I think that that's something, whether it's two deep, three deep, four deep, whatever it is, it's going to be big for us. Two deep? Like, is he only going to play seven guys in the playoffs?
He might have to.
Is he only going to bring...
How many guys can he play? He doesn't have many options.
Who would it be off the bench? Marcus Morris and...
Well, let's see. First round, without Marcus Smart, you're starting Terry Rozier, Tatum, Horford, Baines, and Brown. So that brings Monroe... I'm sure he's going to use so Monroe, Morris, and then I'm sure he'll use Larkin.
Yeah,
he loves Larkin, and then Shemmy as maybe the emergency guy in foul trouble. So that's eight deep.
And then there might be some series when teams go really small and play either Baines or Monroe off the court. Probably Monroe if there's a lot of speed and whatever, because Baines I think is better at moving his feet. Better at surviving that, but
absolutely.
Like when you look at it, the Celtics are good. They're going to really trim that rotation down. It's going to be, and the fact that Brad said too deep, like seven guys, it speaks to how many guys they've lost to injury. But that first series, it could be a small bench before Marcus Smart gets back, assuming the Celtics advance far enough to get him back.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that playoff picture after I remind everybody that it's baseball season and the Locked On NBA podcast is expanding into baseball. We've got all of the NBA teams covered. The NBA is basically our bread and butter because obviously it was founded by David Locke, who's the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. We're all NBA guys on the Locked On Podcast Network. He started out with football. Football is covered. Now we're expanding into baseball. So slowly but surely, baseball teams are going to be covered. The Red Sox, not covered yet, but soon they will be. So just keep an eye out for that. So if you like your NBA, your Locked On NBA podcast, go check them out. If this is your first time listening to us and you're also a fan of other teams, maybe you have two or three favorite teams, every team is covered. If you want to listen to a Locked On NFL podcast with the draft coming up and all of that, go check out your favorite team's Locked On NFL podcast. Slowly but surely, Locked On Baseball podcast. Locked On Major League Baseball is coming along. I know we've got the Cubs, I think the Reds, a couple of other teams covered. So we're slowly adding those teams. Eventually, every Major League Baseball team will be covered as well. So search for them. Keep an eye out for them. Locked On Baseball, Locked On Network is expanding. So be sure to subscribe. Okay, playoff picture here, because each day things change. So as it stands right now, the Celtics are in the 2 seed. The Milwaukee Bucks are tied with the Heat. But because of tiebreakers, the Miami Heat are the 6th seed. The Bucks are 7th. And the Washington Wizards are 8th. One game behind. And the Celtics happen to play the Wizards next. And that game is on Tuesday. Tuesday night, TNT, 8 o'clock game. So, Jay, first question here is, the Celtics, now, I think the opinion, consensus, is we don't want to play the Wizards because they're obviously... Their strengths are at guard, and our strengths are not at guard right now without Kyrie, without Marcus Smart. Do you think Brad Stevens kind of plays that Tuesday night game as an all-out, this is our final tune-up before the playoffs, as like, this is it. I'm playing everybody. We're playing a real rotation on Tuesday night. We're going to try to beat the Wizards and keep them in that 8th seed, and then whatever happens, they'll rest everybody against the Nets. Do you think Brad Stevens thinks about that?
I would bet that for two reasons. One, he said before today's game against the Hawks that he wanted two more dress rehearsal type of games where he played most of the guys. I think even though they rested Marcus Morris, I think today's game against the Hawks kind of qualifies as that. And so he's going to do it one more time. I suspect he would rather have an extra day of rest for the starters. So sitting them Wednesday against the Nets gives you an extra day of rest heading into the playoffs versus sitting them Tuesday and then having them play Wednesday. So, yeah. And then on top of it, I do think the Wizards are probably the highest ceiling team of the Celtics, the team the Celtics could play, whether the Bucks, the Heat, or the Wizards. I know they've been a mess lately. I know they've lost 4 in a row. I know they've 2-8 in their last 10. I know things have not looked good in Washington, but they're still a formidable team who gave the Celtics all they could handle during last season's playoffs. So, yeah, I think you try to beat the Wizards, keep them in the 8th spot, and then hope that Miami falls into 7th so that Jay King can enjoy the beach.
Selfish bastard. You don't want to go to Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not bad. They've got fine beer. They've got good food.
Yeah, I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not Miami, John. It's not Miami, John.
Come on. It starts with the same first two letters. I mean, it's basically the same.
Yeah, very similar places, Miami and Milwaukee.
Let's just kind of set up the final two games for everybody. Milwaukee, Monday at home against Orlando, Wednesday at Philly. Washington, obviously, we talked about that Tuesday game. And then at Orlando on Wednesday, Miami plays Monday, Oklahoma City at home, and Toronto at home. So they finish two home games, but against two playoff teams. So Miami has the hardest schedule. Washington is right behind with and that Milwaukee at Philly, the last game of the season, will be interesting to see what Philly does in that last game of the season. So
it depends, I think, probably on whether the Knicks knock off the Cavs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So because right now the standings, the Sixers are a game ahead of the Cavaliers in the third seed. And I think they want to stay in that third seed because they have a potential second round matchup either against the Celtics or if the Celtics lose, then a lower seed that beats the Celtics. So that third seed is coveted right now.
Yep. So it might come down to whether the Cavs play guys against the Knicks. And so we'll see.
Yeah. I think so. And then as far as playoff games, the tiebreakers, I should say, the Wizards and Bucks are tied. So they've split their season series, so it goes down to division. So if they somehow end up tied, the Wizards have a better division record. And so that is something. So the Celtics really, really want to win that game against Washington on Tuesday night because that just keeps them down in that 8th seed. I think they go all out. They kind of have to go all out if they care. That's the big thing. I think the real kick in the balls here is the Celtics have the potential for a favorable first round matchup and a potentially favorable second round matchup because as great as the Sixers have been and they have a ton of talent, that talent is almost completely unproven and they may have enough talent to get past the Miami Heat, but a second round series against a really good team, I don't know if Simmons and Embiid and those guys, look, they're still young. They still haven't really faced that level of a test. Next season, that's going to be a completely different story. But this season, I think if the Celtics even just had Kyrie and if they faced the Sixers in the second round, they have the ability to really capitalize on that matchup. Al Horford has played Embiid well. If Marcus Smart comes back, he could play Ben Simmons well because Simmons is not a jump shooter, so the height advantage doesn't really mean as much as it normally would. That would totally be an opportunity for the Celtics to get to the conference finals. It's a little bit of a kick in the balls that they won't have enough players to really take advantage of that.
Yeah. This season has brought a lot of kicks to the balls.
Yes, a lot.
A lot of success. A lot of
welcome to the headline of the
podcast. Of positivity, but a lot of kicks to the balls.
All right, we'll end it with the kicks to the balls. I want to thank everybody for listening. If this is your first time listening for some reason, then thanks. Welcome aboard. You should subscribe. Go ahead and search Locked On Celtics wherever you find your other podcasts. If you are a regular subscriber, of course. If you have not given us a 5-star rating, then please, what are you waiting for? Come on, we've earned it at this point. Give us a good review and share. Tell everyone. Spread the word. We need your help to spread the word on the podcast. Tell everyone they should be listening to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast, here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah.